one is an application for an amendment to the San Vital Perimeter South Secondary Plan for 2303 Halima Road under file SPA 1 of 2008. The applicant is Donovan Taves.
Donovan Taves.
Sorry, sat at the wrong seat.
Welcome, Donovan.
Thank you.
You have approximately 10 minutes to introduce your application.
I wonder if I was just going to introduce the landowner, Mr. Mike Reimer, and he's going to say a few words, maybe take his 10 minutes, it won't be 10, first, and then I'll follow up with a presentation. Would that be
fine.
All right?
That's fine.
Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you for taking your time to hear this presentation.
Can you please state your name and address for the record before we get going?
Okay. My name is Mike Reimer. My address is 100 Garwick Cove, Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Okay. In the great ward of St. Boniface.
Yes. I appreciate everyone for coming out. I'm here with my wife, Carolyn, as well, and our five children. And we've just returned last summer from Bolivia, where we've been serving as missionaries and for the last 13 years. In Bolivia, we worked and lived with the Guarani, one of the poorest indigenous groups in South America. This group of subsistence farmers has taught us that lasting joy and happiness do not come from the abundance of possessions or money that we possess. I say this because we did not purchase this property to become wealthy or to fill it with as many houses as possible and as the average developer might and then leave. We were only looking for a place to raise our family and allow them space to build tree forts, raise pets, and enjoy life in the country. We had trouble finding a five-acre lot on the south side of Winnipeg that we could afford. Our desire is to subdivide just enough to cover the land costs so that we can build our own place to live. Our minds lately are on the flood and its devastating powers. You as city councillors and planners have the difficult task of deciding where people should live so as not to expose them to the dangers of flood or ice. I congratulate the city engineers and designers who built the dike and Seine River diversions, which effectively protect Grand Point from this danger. The construction of the dike in 2003 and diversions protected the 170-plus homes between Halima Drive and the Highway 59. But it also served to do something else. By being located in one of the few rural safe zones in the Red River Valley, it also increased property values. This is usually a positive and welcomed, but not if the property becomes too expensive to make its agricultural zoning economically viable. This would explain why this property has been unproductive for the last 12 years and has changed hands numerous times since the dike was built, and that not one farmer or anyone interested in agriculture was interested in buying it. The 29 acres are physically divided by the CP Railroad and the Seine River, leaving only about 12 acres of pasture in the middle. And I don't believe there's a farmer alive who would pay what we did for those 12 acres of pasture. The neighbors claim that the soil isn't suitable for cash crops. Besides, in today's size of farm equipment, they would have a hard time even turning around on that small plot. Since the city planner's report came out recommending that this property maintain its agricultural zoning and that further residential development would cause potential conflicts with existing farm operations, I began to think, what could possibly be grown or raised on this plot of land? We have some 10 city residents, families, living within a quarter mile of us, and I am sure that they would not appreciate any kind of animal production or livestock being raised in this area as the secondary plan under policies and objectives encourages. Regarding the difficulty of providing city services, we are very willing to use the same central garbage and recycling drop-off area that our neighbors presently use. We would also commit to maintaining and clearing snow from our portion of Grand Point Road as to not become any more of a burden to the city. Once the proposed fire station at the intersection of Highway 59 and Bishop Grandin is in place, we will only be 5 minutes away from these emergency services. I have visited the majority of our neighbors to listen to their concerns. Many were friendly and welcomed us to the neighborhood and told us that they appreciate that we're cleaning up this eyesore. One neighbor, however, threatened me, saying that if we were to try to build a house on their side of the tracks, that being the east side, everyone would hate us and we would be miserable there. Now, if I thought our plans would ruin their tranquil rural existence, I would not move ahead. I know they've spent much time developing their properties, and there should not be development that would adversely affect them. We value the same things that they do and want to ensure that they do not change. The previous owner who had plans to develop this parcel of land called for 2-acre lots, which would have changed the character of this area. But our hope is to have the same average size lots that the opposing neighbors to the south of us already enjoy, that being 5 acres. This property has been an unproductive eyesore since the flood of 97. It looks like a garbage dump with junk strewn all over, 11 decrepit buildings only serve to house rats, mice, and a family of skunks. But we dream something better. We envision something better. Better for the neighborhood by beautifying the area and getting rid of unwanted rodents. Better for the city by building within its protective dike, generating more tax revenue and creating a more efficient use of the services that are already provided to the area residents. And also better for the environment. We have already torn down 6 of the worst buildings by hand, recycling much of the wood. We plan to plant many trees this summer, providing habitat for wildlife. And when we build, we would like to build our house as green as possible, using wind and solar technology, which I've been experienced using in Bolivia. I, alongside my family, respectfully request you to help us make this dream a possibility. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Reimer. Questions? Counselor?
If you have any questions, I'm sure people will be coming forward with questions. At the end, you'll probably have a lot of questions.
Okay. Mr. Taves?
Donovan Taves with Landmark Planning and Design, 298 Waterfront Drive. So Mr. Reimer's provided the passion in terms of what he intends to do and what he'd like to do and why he bought the land and so forth. And I intend to go through a series of about 10 slides. I'm going to try and do it in the allotted 10 minutes without rushing too badly, because I've put together a set of arguments why I think this committee should support the application, and I think they're quite strong. As I do planning, as you know, and I don't always feel as strongly as I do about this, but I think there are some arguments that are well worth your consideration. I started with this plan here, which is the, if you recognize it, it's the actual plate, if you will, from the St. Vitale Perimeter South Secondary Plan. It's the guiding map, if you will, for what can be done and what can't be done in this area. And what you're looking at along the left-hand side, which is the west side, is the Red River. And along the right-hand side, which is the east side, is the 59 Highway. And then the big white stripe through the middle is the floodway. And along the north, the top, is the Perimeter Highway. So So that should orient you to the drawing. And then to bring your attention to what the actual hatchings mean, the left side between St. Mary's Road, there's a line that is St. Mary's Road and the river, it's darker there, that permits 2-acre development. On the far right side, and that straight line where that dark hatch starts, is St. Anne's, and then the rail line bisects that, and then you've got 59 highways, so that is also permitted as 2-acre development. Everywhere in between, which is that medium gray hatch, permits 5-acre subdivisions. So that whole top area permits either 2 or 5-acre subdivisions. The subject site is that red, what is it, a rectangle, or what's the word for a thing that isn't square? Polygon. Is the subject area, and the subject site is within that area. I did that area because we're going to zoom in and have a closer look. All of that area, as you can see, is designated 40 acres, so you're not allowed to subdivide below 40 acres. And, of course, this is the request at hand. Mr. Reimer would like to subdivide his land into 5-acre. There's various sizes. I'll show them to you on a different slide, but roughly 5-acre development. And before I leave this slide, I wanted to make the point about the slide is that my opinion is that with due consideration, the plan is old. It's from 1979. Had I been writing the plan, I would have included that area as 2- and 5-acre development, or 5-acre development. I'll tell you why. I'll give you my rationale why. Is the two dark hatched areas, which are the 2-acre development sites, the one on the left to the west is between the road and the river, and the one on the right is between the road and the 59 highway. They're both fragmented, have extremely fragmented ownership. They're bisected by various things. For instance, the one on the right is bisected by the CN line. It's bisected by the Seine River. It's very fragmented land ownership, and it makes sense to me why it would have been designated among that whole area, why that part would have been designated. Turns out, I know the planning department has struggled with and retained the engineering department really to study servicing issues, i.e. There's been some salinity issues in wells, and the issues are mainly alongside the Red River, but as you move away east from the Red River, they're not a problem. In conversation with planning, hindsight being perfect, they wouldn't have designated the land on the left. They would have designated the land on the right. All this to say, the subject site is exactly the same kind of setup as these other two-acre pieces. It's extremely fragmented ownership. It's bisected by a rail line. It's bisected by a river. It's bounded by roadways. It makes perfect sense for land to be developed as residential. And as we move on to the other slides, you'll see that, in fact, there is residential development in this area. It's also characteristically different from the other 40-acre lands to the west. Everything south of the floodway and to the west of the subject site is agricultural land, unfragmented, farmed. This section of land is not. Is there any way to dim the light for visibility?
We can see it.
Others up there might have a harder time. Thanks. So this is, we're looking at roughly the same area, except with the aerial photo underneath. So that red line reflects that secondary plan area we were just looking at, although, of course, it runs off the drawing at the bottom. And so, again, what I'll draw your attention to is those areas I pointed out previously. On the left of the drawing between the red line and the yellow, which is St. Mary's Road, that's the 2-acre development, and you can see the extent to which it's developed. On the far right, between the red line and St. Anne's Road, on the left of it, is more 2-acre development. It's been fully developed as per the plan. South, across the floodway, outside of the red line, that's the Grand Point neighborhood. It's designated 2-acre development, and it is growing as 2-acre development. And then again, you can see the subject site there in the red box at the bottom right. It's a very curious little corner of Winnipeg. It's actually a little notch, and it shows up later in other drawings I'll show you. It's a little notch that seems very unique, and in fact, it is unique, and I think that's why there's so much conversation about it. It's a little different than typical. And then what I didn't point out was the area between the two-acre sites north of the floodway is that 5-acre section, and you can see that it's very well developed. The last thing I'll point out on this drawing, by the way, the red line at the west is contiguous with the roughly contiguous with the city boundary. So it's a reshow on outside and Winnipeg on the inside. The green line is the new, Mike referred to the new flood protection dike that was put in. So this area is flood protected, as you can see from the green lines attaching to the floodway. So zooming in a little further, the same photo, the subject site doesn't have the fill in it anymore, but you can see it's labeled subject site. And again, we're talking about the area. When I talk about the area, I'm talking about the area east of Helama, which is that yellow line, Helama Road. And Helama connects north off the drawing to 59 and south off the drawing to 59. Excuse me. So you can see a little closer the development that's in place, and that's the only reason why I wanted to show you this drawing as we're zooming in. You can see the green line at the bottom left corner is the dike and the floodway just skimming off the top left corner of the drawing. I want to spend some time on this one. This is where I was headed. Is that I said previously that the area is substantially different from the 40 acre to the west. The 40 acre to the west is unencumbered agricultural land. It is very suitable. It makes sense to me as a planner. That this is 40 acre designated does not make sense to me. And in fact, the land use pattern reflects that it doesn't make sense because it isn't being used as agricultural land and it is highly fragmented. So the red line, again, is the subject site, and overlain on there is roughly what would be proposed in a subdivision that would follow this application. And that shows six lots. There's two lots shown on the frontage of Helama, which is the yellow line at the left. They're both 2.5 acre. Then the rail line comes and bisects the property, and Mr. Reimer has a private access right to cross that rail line from one side to the other. Just actually been reestablished with the works that were, they had to realign the, or raise the rail line to get over the new floodway. So that they were doing works on there and they reestablished that private right. In the middle are three lots, 6.2, 6, and 7.4 acres. And in the back, a leftover piece, if you will, because it's on the far side of the Seine River. There's no way to avoid or enlarge that parcel because through a subdivision, the city would take the Seine River. It's right now privately held, and as subdivisions come through, city acquires rivers and streams. But in the context of what's there, this is, to me, when I see this, it fits. And it's as simple as that. The lots below, there's five lots below, are 5.6 acres from the top to the bottom, 5.6, 6.9, 10.7, 5.8, 5.2. If we're off by a little bit, then we're off by a little bit. But that's the order of magnitude. There's a 1.2 acre lot, that little green triangle across Grand Point Road to the west. And to the north, there's a 20 acre lot, all in one title. And I've dashed the part across the rail line because it's bisected by the rail line and effectively left on its own. It's actually further bisected by the river at the east end. It could have shown that as well. And then to the right of the drawing, or to the right side of the drawing, are those 2 acre lots in Grand Point. That's actually in reshow. So Mr. Reimer's not proposing a 2 acre development. He's not proposing anything that's out of character with the neighborhood. And I will be interested to hear, truly interested to hear what the folks have to say and how they feel they'll be impacted by this proposal, particularly the ones that live nearby. Mr. Reimer has had some discussions, but as I gather, people didn't end up wanting to support that.
Donovan, yes. How do you access these lots?
By Grand Point Road.
Grand Point Road.
The two lots on the left would be accessed by Helama. And then the three interior lots would be accessed by Grand Point Road. Grand Point Road is constructed into Mr. Reimer's site and then over his private access. And so there's a legal right-of-way.
Okay.
The legal right-of-way is substandard currently. Public Works has made us aware of that. It would be a very difficult situation to rectify because on the lots to the south, these green ones, people have built structures within the area that ideally Public Works would acquire. So the access physically, you could drive down there, and you might not realize that it's a substandard width legally. So there is a physical access to the site. And actually, when we're talking about secondary plan and not so much site plan at this hearing, however, I think it's relevant to your question, is there is an opportunity to improve that situation. Currently, that roadway goes into effectively a dead end at Mr. Reimer's property at the top of the green lots. For all intents and purposes, he's got a private access. Well, he does have a private access across the rail, but he could construct a turnaround at his property line. This would be an opportunity to have Mr. Reimer pay for that as well, and you can improve a situation of a substandard right-of-way by adding a turnaround. Right now, there's no ability for that.
How about the 2.5 acre on the east side of the same?
The 2.5 acre on the east side, the plan was this, is because it's somewhat complicated, I suggested to Mr. Reimer to subdivide that 2.5 acre off because it has to go anyway. It's on the far side of the creek. It actually abuts a legal right-of-way that the city owns, which is 4 Mile Road. So there is legal frontage. It wouldn't be creating a nonconformity. And ideally, what he would do is close that right-of-way. I understand the city has no use for it and would be open to discussing the purchase of it, and simply create a driveway off Carrier Road to the north. That's Carrier Road butting in at the top right. Any questions on this before I move on? I added the slide in, threw it in. We're not talking about the RM of Richaud or the McDonald Richaud Planning District, but I think it's relevant, and I've included it because currently we're doing lots of capital region planning. There's new provincial land use policies that, by all intents and purposes, seem to be very thorough, and all of them talk about regional planning, and all of them are on the topic of cooperating between one municipality and the next. So I'm going to argue that it's very relevant to look at this drawing. In particular, I want to point something out. What we're looking at, where that arrow is, it actually moved, so I'm going to move it. Oh, actually, I can't. So can I step over here? Will you hear me? And I'm saying it's little because I think in the big picture, and I think in this application, I've drilled down to the local picture in terms of the fragmentation of the lots and the existing character, and I want to zoom back out to the big picture. In the big picture, what McDonald Richaud is doing is in keeping with, this is a draft development plan, by the way, is in keeping with current provincial land use policies, which is to cluster development around existing centers. And where that arrow is, and just to the right of it, there's a brown section. And that brown section is what the RM of Richaud has designated as a community center. I'm not sure the exact words, I can pull them out, but it's a settlement center of sorts. And they're allowing for 2-acre development in there. Now, I'm not suggesting that the city should do what the RM is doing, because the city isn't the RM, but certainly it provides some context for what's going on in that little notch, because they are neighbors. And again, I'll emphasize what's being proposed and what's coming to fruition in Grand Point, or in Richaud's Grand Point, is 2-acre development. And again, Mr. Reimer is proposing mainly 5 or greater acre development. So to me, again, it makes perfect sense. In that little notch, if you were to draw a little line, I'll zoom in. Now we're zoomed in on that brown area. And the white to the north is the city. In that little notch to the right of the black dashed line, which is the rail line, and the right of the red line, which is Halima Road, I put those in there. There's 10 homes. We're proposing 16, so there's 10 established. And we're proposing 6 more. And if you look at the context of this whole area, the big picture is that this is not a new subdivision. There's no opening of roads. There's no change in character. And if you look at this other slide, I would argue it tells the picture very, very well that there is no change in character. So I am interested to hear what the negative effect will be on the community, and I do look forward to the opportunity to comment on that.
Okay.
Any questions? Springtime.
The river did. Mr. Reimer went out there, and we have pictures if need be. The river came up, and of course, this being second worst flood of the century, or third, or I forget how it went down. But the river came up into the tree area, and Mr. Reimer can clarify if I'm wrong about this. But it didn't come anywhere near the buildable area where you would put your house in this year, which is obviously an extreme example. And then there's some disputing report, which I won't answer because I don't have firsthand evidence, on the far side where the 2.5-acre lot is proposed. The river, I heard from one source that it came up and that it was in flood area, and that if you were to build on there, you would have to be built up as the other houses in the Grand Point area are built up. And then I've heard another report from Mr. Reimer that the water didn't seem high, but photos will answer that question rather than me guessing.
Okay.
And I should add that this is what Mr. Reimer's proposing, and the application was for 2 acre, and obviously he's amended his plan to go to 5 acre, we're not considering a subdivision at this point. So I'm putting the example of the subdivision up there as an example, but it's obviously not set in stone because we're talking about land use, not subdivision.
Okay, thank you. James Veach, our planner, wanted to comment?
Just follow up on the flooding of the Seine. I was there at the end of April and took some photographs. I drove down the end of Carrier Road and photographed south and west from there. Everything east of the Seine was flooded at a quite high level. It was up to the edge of some of the signage, the top end of some of the signage in there. So that area was underwater.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Steeves? Okay, you'll have a chance to come back and address some of the issues that have been brought up by
Thank you.
Delegates. Also registered in support, and you don't have to speak, you can just register your support, is Gerald Reimer. Gerald, would you like to speak or would you like, thank you. Now we have a good number of people registered in opposition. Is there any spokesperson for this group, or should I just read through the list randomly? Okay, I'll read through the list randomly, and again, you don't have to speak, although you're welcome to speak, and you would come down here to make your presentation. First on my list is Alain Hogue. In opposition. Et si vous voulez parler en français, je vous encourage... Conseiller Steeves et moi et Peter, Monsieur Peter, comprend le français. Je vous encourage. Bienvenue, Alain. Can you speak into the mic?
Bonjour, mon nom c'est Alain Hogue. Je crois pour le restant de ma présentation, je vais le faire en anglais, parce qu'il y a plusieurs personnes ici qui sont anglaises, alors je crois pour en respect pour eux autres, je vais le faire en anglais. Peut-être conseiller Steve veut que je le fasse en français.
Il comprend bien, il parle bien.
Très, oui, je le sais. I'm appearing tonight on behalf of probably more than one resident, but one particular one, which is a resident not the next door neighbor, but the second neighbor to the south of the proposed subdivision, Lorianne Landry. Her address is 2363 Grand Point Road. She's been there for a number of years. It was interesting to hear both the owner and the planner. As far as the site, and I agree that the big picture is what we should be talking about here before we talk about the smaller picture. The big picture is here, if you look at that subdivision, is that, if I might point, is that the land goes south, north, east, are all farmlands. So what is being asked of you tonight is basically take a very small portion of land in the middle of an agricultural zoning and zone it residential. That, with all due respect, is illogical. That is creating a situation where you know
not only is it bad land use, but bad farmland use and bad planning, period. And for the reasons that are quite obvious, that land all around, and I invite you, I don't know if Councillor Steve has visited the site, but all around it, you'll see farmlands. You hear tractors going at all kinds of times of the year. You have aerial spraying going on. You have cattle. You have horses. In fact, that present site was being used as a horse operation by the previous owner, and her name was Miss Neufeld. She'd been there for many, many years. And in fact, when the flood came, they ended up moving to Birds Hill. And the reason their site became somewhat dilapidated is they never bothered to go and upkeep the site. They just moved their barn. The house was demolished. The outbuildings were left. And for some reason, they were not compelled to clean up the site. The other problem, and it was interesting to say, that nobody was interested in buying that land. Well, there was 29 acres, and I know of a number of people that were interested, including the Leslies, who are just two doors down on the same side. However, the price was $260,000. And my rough arithmetic said that's roughly $9,000 an acre. I don't know too many farmers in Manitoba that will pay $9,000 an acre. Furthermore, there's nothing wrong with the land at all. The land is just good farmland. It just has fell into disuse because the previous owner from 1997 onwards, and before that, they used it as a harvesting operation. From 1997 onward, that site was not used much for a number of years because they didn't use it. And in the last number of years, the Leslies have expanded their use of the property and been allowed to use that piece of land for their horses, and they have a horsing operation. So when you look at that, that's the picture that you firstly look at. Small area, right in the middle of a farming community, and now you're being asked to put in six houses in that area. Secondly, access. Now, I'm not sure with planning. Road. Well, the road is basically a track road. You run a vehicle on it, two tracks, that's it. It was built by the CPR to access their rail line, which goes right up to about her property. So there's a switch there. So years ago, they built the road there. When the flood came, because it was damaged, then the road was upgraded a bit. They just put gravel on it by upgrading. Then it wasn't widened. And as it stands, that road ends up right at the edge of her property, which is right here. This lot here used to belong to this, was grandfathered probably before I was born, and that's a few years ago. And that road is serviced through an access road all the way to their property, which they know that they're lost. So beyond 2363 Grand Point Road, there is no road. Somebody said that there was access beyond. The CP last year, when they upgraded their track, sprinkled gravel on that part beyond that, just so that their vehicles could travel on it. It is not a road at all. That is just a plain trail with a little bit of gravel thrown on it. That's number one. So there's no road there. And it doesn't go beyond his site because there's other owners and they're not prepared to sell him any property. The crossing that Mr. Reimer has to these lots, and I'm not sure if it's exactly right, but it's about over here. Maybe not about that, but it's like the edge of the first lot.
Now that's a crossing that the CP built for themselves, so that because they own a right-of-way on both sides of the track, so they access one side, and they can go to the other side if they want to. It is not a public crossing. I cannot envision the CPR allowing that crossing to become a public crossing. The danger, the trains, by the way, that run by there are running roughly about sometimes 4 or 5 a day. And so there is no access. But what's even worse is that to widen that road would be so expensive that it, number one, it couldn't be done unless there were expropriations, because 2363 Grand Point Road and 2349 have already got buildings within about 25 to 30 feet of the existing road. One is a large machine shed and the other one is a two-story structure. So that is not even in the picture. So when we're talking about access, there is none. There, I cannot envision there being any. Two, there's no services. There's no sewer, obviously no sewer, no garbage pickup, nothing else. All the owners have there is they maintain their own road. They bring their own garbage to the corner of Grand Point Road and Halima. Everything is done by themselves. They grade it. They snowblow it. Everything is their own. So from the standpoint of the developments, it's just not even feasible. So when you look at this whole picture and bring it down from the big picture to the smaller picture of putting, of making that thing, that subdivision work, is just not feasible. Secondly, what you have here is an area that does flood. I looked at it in April. That very land was underwater. Those three lots in the back were underwater. The three ones in the front, well, they're smaller lots, so that didn't happen. And I take it the one in the back would have been worse because it's lower. It keeps going lower down in that general direction. So I submit that when you look at that, and as well as the wells, the aquifer is a real problem. There has been studied on it, and in fact, it's very much discouraged in that area. So what I would suggest is to you, and I implore you, to take a look at the report of the planner. It is a very thorough report. I think they've certainly done their homework very well. It is the facts they have in the report, I put it to you, are accurate. And the reasons for refusing it, I think, are abundant. Thank you very much.
Merci, Mr. Hogue. Any questions for Anna Hogue?
Just the one, I guess the obvious question. What do you think of the lots below there, the green lots?
Which one?
The existing lots.
The existing lots.
You mean those in green?
In the green.
Yep, just below the proposed lots.
Those lots have been there for a very long time. They're grandfathered. And I can assure you, I was involved in that first green lot, the 2349 years ago, and the city was totally opposed to it. In fact, the specs that even gave for the street were such they would make it not feasible even to develop. So those were lots of record. If those people were asking today to have that done, it would not fly.
Question.
But at least, just to finish an answer on that, at least those lots had a reasonable semblance of access. Those beyond that have no access at all.
Well, you could easily build a road, though.
Where?
Couldn't you go down Grand Point?
Nope. I know that the city thinks it owns Grand Point, but I have to tell you, I've been involved in this battle for probably 15 years. CPR says they own the land. That's their right-of-way. I know they have a right-of-way on the other side because I dealt with a landowner right across it, so they have a right-of-way there. And it couldn't possibly be enlarged.
But I think you said there is a road there right now.
No. There is right only away. A road to 2363 Grand Point Road.
Yeah, no, what I mean is, could that road not be extended?
I'm not sure how you would. A, you'd have to deal with the CPR if it's a CPR right-of-way, and I can't see a CPR doing it. The only reason that these people have access is because the CPR's got a switch right in front of 2363. Secondly, you have to enlarge it, and right now it's not possible to enlarge it.
No, but if all I'm saying, there's no way that any development would ever take place if there's no access to the property. You're saying it's impossible to access
the
property?
No, it is. Sure, you can drive down that trail if you want to with your 4x4, but there's no access there.
Okay,
we'll get some administrative analysis on this. Merci, Monsieur Hoag. James, you want to add something?
From our mapping information, Grand Point is an open right-of-way. It's not built past the lot that Monsieur Hoag was talking about. However, it is also substandard in width. It is showing as 33 feet wide. And Public Works, for any new subdivision on that road, they would require an 80-foot wide right-of-way. And they would ask for it right down to the intersection at Halma, which would affect private properties because they front right up to the 33 feet. I asked Public Works, how would they go about getting that extra 47 feet to widen it to 80 feet? Public Works said it would not be the city's responsibility, it would be the developer's responsibility to acquire the land and widen Grand Point to an 80-foot right-of-way and construct it to City of Winnipeg rural roadway standards.
And that's why I was trying to make the point earlier, Councillor Steeves, that 2363 and 2349 of both large structures within about 30 feet from that present right-of-way. So enlarging it would mean that it would cut a swath through their buildings. And if you look at the front of 2363, if you move that road, even if it were possible, if you move that road by the 40 feet, they would be standing on their porch and literally walking on the road.
Okay, thank you, Anna Hoag. We're going to move on. We have quite a few people in delegation.
Thank you.
Merci. Next up is Wayne and Sherry Nelson. Okay, your points have been made. Registered in opposition. Registered in opposition is Hugues Plount. In opposition? You're in opposition? Thank you. Darlene Hyman, Hoffman, and L.C. Polanski. Registered in opposition. Thank you. Melanie and Jean-Paul Richard, in opposition. Would like to come and speak? Welcome. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Melanie Richard, and I'm at 2349 Grand Point Road.
Okay.
So I'm the neighbor immediately south to the proposed plan, and you can see that's my gravel driveway going up there. So I'm opposed to this subdivision, as it would affect my property greatly. As said before, with the proposed road, there really is no road. There's so many potholes. Once in a while, we have to go fill it up. As for the garbage disposal, we have to bring it all the way to the corner. There's enough room for just us right now. There's four of us houses, and we maximize that little space there is. So to have another three people bring in a bunch of their garbage there, it just wouldn't happen. And it's a very poor quality road, and it pretty much ends like right up where mine is. And like they said, they've just added more gravel for the whole flood part of it. And we were pumping water for about 2.5 weeks at least to keep the water out before they decided to start pumping it out for us. And we're right at the very end. So I could see that their property was underwater throughout the entire woods and into right beside us where our fence is. So it was flooding, and we were keeping it all pumped out, but under normal circumstances, it could be worse than that. So we don't know right now if our wells are maybe affected from it. We're going to have them tested because the aquifer did go up, and I believe some people might have had a bit of contamination, so that's of concern as well. And I'm not prepared to provide any of my property, as taking down my shed just does not. It's a large silver shed that's very big, and that would need to come down for them to be able to widen that property. So I do not agree with that proposal at all.
Okay. Any questions?
I mean, there's a lot of people, I suppose, who... How long have you been there, for starters?
I built a house about just over 2 years ago, and my mom owns the property right beside us, and I lived there for many years. And my husband and I decided after we got married to build a house there. And basically, we were under the assumption that there'd be no building there going on. And we liked the quiet, country-like atmosphere and it being totally secluded. And that's really why we built. And we love it there. We've been there for that long. It's been in our family for a long time.
I guess the two developments look fairly similar, kind of side by side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, well, it's my mom right in front there.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to sort of argue for the green lots on the bottom but against the red ones on the top. Or conversely, it's hard to argue for the red ones on the top and for the green ones on the bottom, don't you think?
Well, I agree. It does look pretty simple like that. But when you look into the proposal that they need to widen the road to get there, it doesn't make sense. If they maybe didn't have to do that, I don't know, but right now that was a mud road as of a year and a half ago that went beyond our property. It was just mud road. You couldn't even access it at all, or else you'd get stuck in the mud. The trucks that were building up the train track there put the gravel on so they can move their trucks, so they can build up that train track. And also, as for the whole switch station, a lot of times we can't even get down our road because there's one of those big CP trucks in the way, because they sit there. They have to, do a lot of hammering and fixing of the switch station. And a lot of times the train will be parked there for sometimes an hour while they're doing the switching and, going on to switch onto another track. So they wouldn't even have access across. A lot of times it's not covered, and they're not there to be able to see that. So we'll have trains parked in front of us running for hours, sometimes even in the night, that are really loud because it's a switch station. So,
any more questions?
No, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Melanie.
Thank you.
In opposition, John and Leslie. Leslie? John and Leslie. Welcome. State your name and address for the record.
John Leslie, 2401 Grand Point Road. My wife, Leslie. Leslie. To start off, we've lived in the area for 25 years. We moved into the area because it was a nice, quiet area. We have horses in the area. We right now have 13 horses. And there's neighbors across the road that have cattle. And before that, there was neighbors across the road that had sheep. This, the reason we moved there is a farming area. The people prior to purchasing this property, we knew them quite well, Rosie and Grant Neufeld. They sold the property because we had 8 feet of water in this area. It was flooded from south, north of us. Most of the houses were lost. The city helped us with dirt from the Brady landfill to do most of the build up the houses, but they could not bring sandbags. So Rosie and Grant left and left the property the way it was. It was a horse property. It was used as pasture then, and it's still used as pasture now. It's good land, but that's what it's used for. The railway crossing that they were all speaking about, the courtesy crossing, which I've spoke to CP numerous times and in Calgary, that will be removed. It's there just as a courtesy crossing. Once they don't want it anymore, they will take it out. It's not for traffic all the time. And the problem was when the original owners had this property, I often asked Grant why he doesn't do something with the back property. He says, you can't. You can't subdivide this. He sold it this way. When the Reimers bought this property, he said there was numerous purchasers of this property. As far as I know, there was two. He's the second one. Everybody else put bids in on this property and jumped out because they realized the problems they're having with subdividing this property. They didn't want the hassle, didn't want the problems. As far as the water in the area, our well was contaminated this year due to the services. We couldn't get the city out to steam our culverts. We couldn't get the city out to steam the big culvert, the big ditch in front of us. We couldn't get reshot out to steam it, which they say they're supposed to be working for the city of Winnipeg. The actual services in the area on that road, Grand Point Road, is myself and the neighbors. Nobody plows the road. Nobody does anything. If you want the city out, they don't come out. The police have trouble finding us because of GPS now, and they know where we live. But before that, they never used to come. Ambulance, when we first moved out there, drove up to me and asked for some neighbors, and I didn't know where they lived. And this guy had a heart attack. We had a fire in our barn, burnt down. By the time the fire department got there, they basically just contained the fire. That was it. It burnt the whole barn down and all the animals we had in it. The road, I guess the part that really burns me is, and the report that the city put out, it was a very, very great report. But in order to put houses down there, how many you want, six or whatever, you have to widen that road to 80 feet. That means taking out half our front yard, which we've had for 25 years. And that's not a problem for Mr. Reimer. He doesn't seem to care. He can just rip it up and put a road down there. It's a gravel road. It's not serviced. As Melanie said, we fill in potholes. We snow blow it. I've asked Rishad to plow it. I've asked the city to plow it. They don't know whose road it is and where it is. So these people that would be moved in there would want more access from the city, more things to be done. The wells. We dug a new well to put in a geothermal heating system. Our one well wasn't enough water in it to pump to get this thing to work. So we had to drop the pipes in our pond because there's not enough water. And the guy that dug the well says, there's not enough water here. We had 4 gallons coming out one well. Close to the railway tracks. It's there. Man, the guy in the Mr. Plant that lives right there, I'm surprised he doesn't get knocked out of bed. That thing rumbles. You can hear it. And our house is quite a ways back. You can hear that thing rumbling all the time. And that track must be repaired every month. They're always repairing it. The lack of services. Then you got septic systems. Another 6 septic systems put in place. You got the wildlife that's in the area. We got deer running all over the place. You wouldn't have that anymore. People would be cutting down trees for their fireplaces. The ATVs would be racing all over the place with kids and that. And that's not farmland. What we have out there is still have people in farm. The fellow down the road from me has hayland. I buy his hay off for my horses. The fellow across the road has hayland, has cattle, and that's the way it is. It's a small little community, and we'd like to keep it a small, quiet little community, not a mini St. Vital. Then you'd have to have school buses ripping down these roads, so it can't be just a dirt road. Then it has to be an asphalt road, and an asphalt road's got to be 80 feet or whatever they would put in there. And as Mr. Hoke said, you've got spraying, where they spray airplanes over. They're spraying for mosquitoes. They spray over there for the crops. And this guy goes right over top of all this property to turn his airplane around and whip down across the west side of us. So they're aerial spraying all over the place. I think that's it.
I'd just like to reiterate on this, too, is that when we did move out here 25 years ago, we moved out because it was, as I'm just repeating here for a little minute, agricultural. But you look around at all the developments and that are coming up. You turn off onto Helena Drive. On the right is, or left is Burnett Road. There's all these developments going out. We've got something unique there. Now, that's not to say that we've didn't want Mr. Reimer there, a little bit of inaccuracies about threatening, a little bit upset about that term. But the thing is that we were understood that it's one title per property, which entitles him to put his house on it. Now, we do not want to look at all these houses developed there. In fact, there's only about 9 or 10 in our area, and what he's proposing would not quite double it. But it takes the uniqueness away. We have something that's very special, and special for the city of Winnipeg. And please, let's keep something special instead of developing the hell out of everything. I really beg you.
Thank you. Questions?
I understand your position completely. The well stuff has come up a couple of times. You got a permit to dig a well, and it was contaminated?
No, no, our well was contaminated because they wouldn't steam the culverts.
Oh, it was overland.
And it was water that just couldn't flow out the ditches.
Oh, so it was overland contaminated.
Yes.
Sorry, I misunderstood you.
And I asked the city, I phoned the city several times. They did come out, and they did a few properties, but then they just left. I phoned Reshot, who I understand is supposed to be working for the city because they're getting paid to do all the stuff out there. They never came out. Finally, I got the guys from CP. And within an hour and a half, the fellow from CP came with a steamer and steamed it out. And the water sat there for so long that it contaminated our well. And then all the neighbors are worried that their wells are all contaminated because we're close together.
Yeah. Okay. How deep did you put your geothermal in, if you don't mind me asking?
Pardon me?
How deep did you go with your geothermal?
The well? Or
the geothermal?
The pipes.
The pipes.
They're in our pond, 7 feet down.
Oh, I see. Good. Interesting.
I have one question. How large is your lot? How large is your lot?
We have 20 acres.
20 acres?
Okay. Half of it's in Reshot, which they give us nothing, and the other half is in Winnipeg.
Okay.
And that's one of the biggest problems, is living with Reshot. Reshot would like to subdivide everything because they need money. And I think, like my wife had said, this area we moved into it because it's pristine, part of Winnipeg that's still just the farmland. And we actually used this property from Grant and Rosie, the original owners, as pasture, because they said they couldn't look after it when we were gone, so you might as well let your horses on it. And that's what we've been using it for. It is basically just pasture.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Final delegation in opposition, Georgina Jarima. Would you like to speak? Is there anyone else in opposition who hasn't filled out a form? Hearing none. I have several people for information. Georgina.
Okay, first thing I'm confused about is the red is where the property is being subdivided or
Yes.
not, yeah, then we're not talking about the subdivision. We're talking about the proposed amendment to the secondary plan.
They're essentially applying to change that whole red piece of land from farmland to residential land, Georgina. Is what it boils down to.
It would require a subsequent application.
Yeah, I think there was originally a notional plan where there were 2-acre lots built into that same red property. But again, technically, even though he's disclosed what he'd like to do, any division of lots would have to come back before this committee.
Right.
If we appealed, if today was approved, it wouldn't give anybody the right to build these lots, correct?
That's right. You would still have to come back here for a subdivision public hearing.
Okay. My name is Georgina Drema. I'm president of the St. Germain Vermette Community Association. And the area that this is in is 40 acres minimum size. Okay. Now, I'm a little bit concerned about subdividing 40 acres into smaller parcels. I know there's lots of records. There's lots of records in all of our area in St. Germain Vermette that are smaller than what they should be because they existed before the plan was developed. Okay, the other thing is, in the summer of 2008, the city planner informed me that MMM Group had been hired to provide an overview of the current secondary plan and the major development issues in the area and to make recommendations regarding the secondary plan. It has been 31 years since our secondary plan was originally passed. It is probably not a bad idea to review it, if that is what residents want to do. Presumably, such a review would confirm, strengthen, and clarify the secondary plan, or it would substantially change it, bringing into play the original animosities and pitting current development desires against established uses. The association agreed to meet with the planner and Ross Mitchell of MMM Group, but we also had concerns. We wanted to know where the pressure to review the secondary plan was coming from. The planner wrote, "Actually, we are not under any pressure to enter into a comprehensive review of the original plan." Since the planner assured us that it was not under any pressure to enter into the review, we suggested that our residents be given time to review the information on the city's website before the two meetings that Mr. Mitchell.
One sec, sorry to interrupt. There are people who have registered who haven't been called yet. They registered for information. If you listened at the start of the meeting, we'll hear from people in support, followed by people in opposition. Next, people for information will be called. I'm assuming that.
I think we should check the rec one box after the website.
Okay. Continue, Georgina.
Okay. Let me back up here. Since we're not under any pressure to review our plan, we suggested that our residents be given time to review the information on the city's website before the two meetings that Mr. Mitchell proposed occur. In that way, they would be better prepared to evaluate the implications of those studies that Mr. Mitchell will be providing at his first forum. We also propose that the residents be given time to suggest objectives and policies for the community, like those given in the district plan of 1977 and the current plan Winnipeg. These suggested objectives and policies could be used to develop a community plan. So last Friday, I was surprised to hear from Mr. Mitchell that an amendment to our secondary plan was to be heard on Monday. I was even more surprised to read that in December,
The Executive Policy Committee recommended to Council that a bylaw be prepared to amend the second, the St. Patel Perimeter South Secondary Plan and to forward it to Council for first reading and a public hearing to be scheduled before the Rial community. The final report of the hydrogeological assessment of the St. Vital Perimeter South area was submitted to the City of Winnipeg in June of 2004. That report was discussed by the City's Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development on September 29, 2005. The administrative recommendation was that the report be received as information. When a report is received as information, it is filed with no action taken. Why, after 4 years of doing nothing about this report, is it suddenly important for the City to take action on it and reveal its contents to its to our residents? If the City did not want to do it originally, then why is it necessary to do it now? I know now why. It was an Executive Policy Committee recommendation. In view of this, I have to wonder, what are the chances that our community will be given time to review the information on the City's website regarding St. Germain-Vermette? How much time will be given to develop a community plan? That's my concern.
Okay. Questions?
I have your comments, and I think I understand exactly where you're coming from Georgina. I respect it. Tough thing about this darn secondary plan is it's been, there's been so many exceptions, it seems, made over the years that it's hard to know where we're going to wind up. What is your honest assessment as to, do you think we can get the community to a secondary plan in this area in any reasonable time frame if we were to turn the process on again?
What is reasonable time?
I was hoping you'd tell me.
You're looking at people, most of them who've been in the area for a long time. They obviously like it there. And you're asking them to make changes. They have to consider them.
Well, maybe we're not asking them to make changes. I don't know.
Okay. But you're asking them to look at information, decide if they want to change. It takes time to make those kind of decisions.
Yeah. No, I know.
It's not an easy thing to do. On the other hand, you want to subdivide. It's an easy thing to do because you want to make money.
Okay, supplementary question?
Yeah. No, okay. My point was, if there's applications that come forward with reasonable regularity, not overwhelming regularity, but reasonable regularity with respect to amendment of the secondary plan. There's not tons, but. I guess when people come forward, they always seem to ask the same question. When do you think we'll get to the amendment of the secondary plan? I'm not blaming you or anybody else, but obviously the time has come to sort of crank up the engine on the secondary plan. And I guess if somebody was to ask you, if we started tomorrow or soon on the secondary plan, how long do you think it would take to get something on a secondary plan in the area?
Well, you know, I tried to sort of do that before.
Yeah, no, I remember. That's why I bring it up again.
All right, so it was 2 or 3 years before anything got anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an open-ended question. Thank you, Georgina.
Thank you.
In opposition, Tony Ivanchuk. Registered in opposition. Thank you. In opposition, David Poole. Registered in opposition. Is there any other people who didn't sign a sheet or are in opposition? Okay, now we're going to go for information. Ross Mitchell, for information. Registered. Sure, come on down, Ross. Name and record, name
Thank
and
you.
Address for the record.
Mr. Chairman, Ross Mitchell, MMM Group. I just have a couple of questions. Mention was made of the Capital Region here tonight. I was wondering if the administration knows that if Richo was consulted prior to this amendment.
Okay, and your second question? And your second question, and then we'll answer them at once.
As often is the case in situations like this, the devil's in the details. I would like to know if an application for subdivision has been made, or have you seen anything? And in particular, I'd be interested to know if there's a draft servicing agreement or some kind of recommendations from Public Works on things like access.
That's three questions.
And servicing. Oh.
Okay. Do you have any answers?
Yeah. In terms of discussion with Richo, the amendment was advertised in the newspaper. The City of Winnipeg did not directly contact Richo to ask them what they felt about the application before us. We left it up to the advertisement in the paper, and if Richo felt they wanted to discuss it with us, they would have called. We did not speak with Richo or Richot. The second question, I am not aware of a subdivision application. There is no subdivision application at this time before the planning department. So if they've made one in zoning and permits, we are not aware of that as of today. The applicant could probably give us more information on that.
And servicing? We'll ask the applicant those questions as well. Thank you.
What servicing question?
Is there a servicing agreement in place?
No, in terms of what Public Works would like and what Water and Waste would like, land development, that sort of in writing would come when there is a subdivision application. What I've gotten from Public Works in terms of the widening and the construction of the road was based on a telephone call conversation with Public Works and myself.
Okay. Thank you, James. For information, Diane Domoratsky. Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else who hasn't filled out a sheet who would like to be registered? Hearing none, we will go back to the applicant, Donovan Taves. Mike Reimer, please come down. This is your opportunity to answer questions or issues that may have arisen. You're not allowed to introduce any new information at this point. Just answering questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I don't answer any questions that, if I don't answer all the questions, then you feel free to ask me to answer them. I've got a few points I'd like to pick up on in response to people's questions and then a rebuttal response to their comments. The first is that I was listening very carefully, and I was listening for impacts for people to tell us how they would be negatively impacted by this proposal. I heard a lot that made me wonder why people lived in this area, because generally, and I don't mean this to be trite or offensive, but people spoke about the problems in the area that they had. They spoke about flooding was a problem for them, mosquito spraying. They spoke about how emergency services used to be poor. With GPS, it's gotten better. They spoke about some problems with wells and geothermal heating they were having. With respect to the residents on Grand Point Road, they spoke about having to bring their garbage down to the road. But none of those had anything to do with how they would be impacted by what's proposed here. The closest I heard was the neighbor immediately to the south say that she would be impacted, but even then I didn't hear how would you be impacted. So in that respect, I didn't hear anything about how people would be impacted. I did hear one argument with respect to the use of the land, although not everyone was of one voice on the matter, but Mr. Hogue spoke about the agricultural value of the land, and I would leave it to the committee to judge for itself whether this is viable agricultural land. and represents the best use of that land from a city management perspective. And I would assert our position is certainly no. It's highly fragmented. It hasn't been farmed. No farmer would buy it to farm on it. It's obviously, to us, an inappropriate idea to extend the life of this land, hoping that in some way it's preservation of agricultural land. And to us, that makes no sense. In terms of the secondary plan, our feeling is that, and I think everything that was said here tonight suggests that secondary plan is at best a hope of happening. It's a long way off. This isn't rushing development. This is recognizing that plans and zoning bylaws get amended, and there's a proper process for that, and this is the process that we're engaging you in, this committee. So we don't hold much hope that a secondary plan will be forthcoming. And I could go into that in terms of, I know the planning department's plan, as stated at our meeting at EPC, is to, at some point in time, when a group is assembled, to hold two open houses for the purposes, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, district planner, for the purposes of showing the neighborhood the engineering report, two engineering reports, one on water, one on land drainage, and then deciding whether a secondary plan is needed based on consultation. And I think we've heard loud and clear from this area that there will not be a desire to have a secondary plan reviewed. And I know for certain, given the resources at the city, that this is not a priority for a secondary plan amendment. So this, that is why there's an application here. We actually waited 6 months at the request of the planning department to, before submitting an application. They said that we have a secondary plan review possibly coming. And we said, okay, we'll wait. After 6 months, the planning department said to us, submit an application. So we did, and that's why we're here. So all that said, I would like to end on a different note other than answering questions. By the way, there's no subdivision application that has been submitted for this property.
Servicing?
Nothing in that. As the planner has rightly said, that would come at a subdivision stage. There would be an ACG report that this is a land use question. So on the question of land use, we think it's very appropriate. And we've been fully disclosed the intent to help inform this process, which is that it's a large lot development. The lots are larger than the ones nearby. Yes, every development has things that have to be worked out, and if they can't be worked out, then the development has to be modified. But on a question of land use, we feel very strongly that the information we presented supports a very good case that this should be a rural residential development.
Thank you, Donovan. Ready for questions?
Yes, I am.
Councillor Steeves.
Well, we've covered this thing pretty exhaustively.
The
road issue has come up quite a few times. I don't know that you necessarily spoke to that.
It has to be. You did ask me about, or Councillor Vandel, pardon me, asked me about the how the site is accessed, and I did speak to and informed the committee that it was a substandard right-of-way, and it is, as you heard a second time or third, and that it's 33 feet wide. You can physically drive to the site. I've done it in a small car, not a 4x4, Toyota Celica, and it is accessible. There was some misunderstanding of information. Some people said it seemed as though they thought we were going to use the private crossing as a means of accessing the subdivision. That's not the case. I was simply stating that there is a private crossing in place. So the road is accessed, or the property, rather, is accessed by Grand Point Road. In theory, you could put a house at the end tomorrow with permits. So we wanted to tell you the whole story rather than doing that.
Can I interject here, Councillor? I just want to make sure we're all have the same information. This is an application to change that parcel of land, your parcel of land,
the landowners,
from agricultural to rural residential.
The planner should probably answer the question. It's to change the designation of the secondary plan.
To change the designation of a secondary plan. It's not a subdivision application.
No.
Even though the lots are theoretically subdivided there, but that's not going to be decided this evening.
So, I can clarify further if you'd like.
Sure. Just perhaps we'll start with our planner.
Sure. Yeah.
James?
No. The application is to amend the secondary plan for this site only, 29-acre site. Currently, that whole area south of the floodway, the secondary plan designates it as agricultural 40 acres. The application, the white area there,
yeah.
The application for the site is to change the designation to the application was written as medium density rural residential, which is the 2 acre lots. The applicant has since said they would be willing to go to the 5 acre designation, which is the low density rural residential.
Okay.
So you would get a gray square over this property if this application was approved. And it went through the process. It still has to go through Standing Policy Committee, Council, etc.
5 acre gray, you mean? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
5 acre gray. It's all
not
gray.
Not the dark gray.
Donovan, do you want to?
I think you did an adequate job, unless you've got further questions on that issue.
I don't. Adequate.
No, I don't.
Good job.
Thank you. Any more questions?
I don't. No, I don't have any more questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does Mr. Reimer have a chance to rebut?
Mr. Reimer, yes.
Thank you. There were just a few questions regarding the Grand Point Road access, and I also listen to the neighbors, and I care what they say. And the road, we would request that it not need to be enlarged, even if we have to move from a proposed 3 lot on that section to 2 lots. Presently, there are two houses that have been using that size of road for 25 years and have been doing it quite successfully, I believe. And another thing I would mention, that road, and Mr. Tony Ivanchuk corrected in the stands, that road actually runs all the way to his property. It runs past our property, but it's a dirt road. And the CP line that is going to be raising the railroad even higher this summer has agreed to build up and put gravel on that road past the crossing that we have. And so it would be built up and made very transitable so that vehicles could get through there. Another point regarding the flooding, I feel for all those people that had challenges this year, but I was pleased that my property was not underwater where we would seek to build. I've taken pictures. In fact, the water did not come out of the bush on the west side. It stayed within that, and there would be ample room. The neighbor that spoke that said they had water problems lived very close to the river, and yet I didn't see any sandbags around their house, so it couldn't have been too much of a concern because there was no danger. On the east side, I believe the planner had seen those signs underwater. Those signs are actually placed as low as they can be during the summer, and yet it did not spill over the bank very much on that side. I walked in the bush, and you have to get out of your car to be able to see where the water is. I put a stake there just to show, and that was the day that the water was highest as they were closing in that second dike. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you, Mr. Reimer.
Thank you.
Questions, Councillor Steve?
Questions.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Are you ready to move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read?
I will, yes.
All in favor, contrary, carried.
I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor, contrary, carried.